This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we will continue with our study of the beautiful names of Allah the Exalted, Al-Asma'ul Husna, and today inshallah we will look at the name Al-Ghani, inshallah. Now the name of Allah, Al-Ghani, means the one who is free of need, the one who is very rich, the one who is free of any want whatsoever, meaning he is completely and fully independent of his creation, of anything and anyone. So he is perfectly self-sufficient. Now the name of Allah, Al-Ghani, is mentioned 18 times in the Book of Allah. And this shows us how important this concept is in our religion, meaning this belief regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is Al-Ghani, that He has no need of us whatsoever. The fact is that we are the ones who are entirely dependent on Him, and we are the ones who are in absolute need of Him, Azza wa Jal. Now, the name of Allah, Al-Ghani, is derived from the word Ghaniya. And Ghaniya literally means to be free of want, to be in a state or to be in a condition where a person or a being has no needs or no wants whatsoever. So basically, it is the opposite of faqr. Faqr is poverty. And when a person is lacking something, when a person is missing something, when someone is suffering from poverty, they are in need of others. And there could be different reasons for neediness. One reason for neediness is the fact that we are creation. So we need certain things in order to survive, in order to be alive. So for example, we are in need of oxygen. We are in need of water. We are in need of, good health. We are in need of, different functions of our body to be working in order that we may stay alive. So this is one reason for neediness. Another reason is that, we are in need because, there are certain things which we desire. Why? Because of that internal weakness. So we have, the need to feel in control. We have the need to feel that, we own something, or that we are being heard, or that, people are accepting us, etc. So neediness basically comes from a place of weakness. So ghina is the opposite of that. Ghina is that that there is so much perfection, absolute perfection, and freedom from any weakness, that there is no need. There is no neediness or want. So this is the concept of ghina, that it is the opposite of faqr. So ghani is the one who is free of want. Ghani is the one who is self-sufficient. And ghani is also used for someone who is rich and wealthy. And even people are described as aghniya or ghani. Why? When they have a lot of money, and so that they are free of, the need of asking people because they're able to look after themselves. So ghani is the one who possesses a lot of wealth also. Now, when we're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His name Al-Ghani, then what does it mean? It means that first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghani, meaning in His being, in His that, meaning He is completely, absolutely self-sufficient. He is the one who owns everything. In His hand are the treasures of the skies and the earth. His attributes are all perfect. And this is why he is rich. He is self-sufficient in and of Himself. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has freedom of any want whatsoever. And this is the, you know, and this is why yani He is the only one who is worthy of worship, because He is free of any need, because He is self-sufficient. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghani, this means that He is Ghani of His slaves, meaning He is completely independent of His servants, of the creation. So He has no need of anyone, and He has no need of anything. So He is غَنِيٌّ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ. He is free of need of His slaves. So He does not need anything. You see, as the creation, as people, we are dependent on one another, right? We need people around us. We need different things for our survival. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-sufficient, so He has no need of anything or anyone. So for example, in the Quran, we learn in Surah Ali Imran, ayah 97, that وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani from the worlds, meaning He is free of need of the worlds, of the entire existence. He has no need of them. He can do without them. He can easily get rid of them. He does not depend on them in any way whatsoever. He is ghani anil alameen. We learn in Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 64, that وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. And this is mentioned right after the fact that He owns everything. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Him belong whatever that is in the skies and whatever that is in the earth. And He is indeed غَنِي. He is rich, He is free of need, and He is praiseworthy. So this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no need for any partner or any child. And this is why we worship only Allah, because He does not need an equal. He does not need an assistant. He does not need a partner. When is it that people seek partners? For example, partnership in their in their work, or in ownership of something, when their work is too big to handle on their own, and they're not able to manage everything on their own. So they need someone who can share the workload with them. Or they are unable to do everything because they don't have all the skills required to do the job. And this is why we see that people, we have partners and equals, etc. But the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is perfect in Himself. So He does not need anyone to help Him manage, the matters of the creation. He has no weakness that can be compensated by someone else. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above any weakness. So in Surah Al-An'am, ayah 163, we learn, لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَبِذَلِكَ أُمِرْتُ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no partner at all. And this is what I have been commanded to do, meaning to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and I am the first to submit to Him, meaning surrender to Him entirely. So I worship Him and obey Him. In a hadith in Musnad Ahmad, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is أغنى الشركائي عن الشرك, and He is completely free of any need of having a partner. So He has no need for a partner, and He has no need for any child even. You see, it's understood that people, they're considered incomplete right? A couple is considered incomplete until a child comes along, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. He is ghani. He is complete in and of himself. So he does not even need a child. In Surah Yunus, ayah 68, it is mentioned, قَالُوا اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. They claim, meaning the people say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a child. Subhanahu, exalted is he. هُوَ الْغَنِيِّ. He is الْغَنِيِّ. He is the one who is completely free of need. So he does not need any child. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is self-sufficient, he has no need of anyone or anything, this also means that he has no need to rest, he has no need to eat, he has no need to even sleep or anything like that. We see in Ayatul Kursi that لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم, that no slumber overtakes him, and he does not sleep at all. He has no need of any sleep. And he is free of any weakness whatsoever. And the reality of the creation is that we are so weak that you know, we fall asleep in different places, right? No matter how much we resist sleep at times, we cannot help but fall asleep. So this is our weakness. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from this weakness whatsoever. And then he has no need of eating even. In Surah Al-An'am, ayah 14, it is said, قُلْ أَغَيْرَ اللَّهِ أَتَّخِذُ وَلِيًّا فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ. That should I seek a God besides Allah, when Allah is the one who has created the skies and the earth, and he is the one who gives food, and he is not fed. And he does not need to be fed, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that clear to us, that he has created us for his worship, and he does not expect from us that we should give him food or give him any kind of sustenance. The fact is that Allah is the one who is Razzaq, who is the provider. So in Surah Al-Dhariyat, it is mentioned, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ. I do not want any sustenance from the creation. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ يُطْعِمُونَ. And I do not want that they should feed me. Likewise in Surah Taha, ayah 132, it is said, لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. We do not ask you, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not ask you for any sustenance. It is نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ. It is we who provide you sustenance. So Allah is al-ghani, meaning he is the one who gives. He does not need anything from us. So he is not need of anything from us, that we should pray to him, or that we should give money in his cause, or that we should donate something, and that we should sacrifice animals, etc., for him. He does not need anything like that whatsoever. In Surah Al-An'am, ayah 133, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ إِن يَشَأْ يُذْهِبُكُمْ. That your Lord is al-ghani, he is the rich, and he is merciful. And if he wants, he can completely get rid of you. If he wants, he can completely remove you from the earth. This means that whether we exist or we don't, it doesn't make a difference to Allah. Whether we worship him or we don't, it doesn't make a difference to Allah. Whether we pray to him and praise him and glorify him and ask him or we don't, it doesn't make a difference to Allah. He does not depend on our praise. He does not depend on our asking him. No, he is perfect in and of himself. So he does not need our worship from us even. In Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 37, it is said, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. That when you slaughter an animal for the sake of Allah, when you offer sacrifice, then it is neither the flesh nor the blood of those animals that reaches Allah. Right? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not commanded us to offer these sacrifices because he is in need of that dedication. He is in need of that food. No, not at all. That's not the goal. The purpose is that it is us who have been given an opportunity to practice taqwa, right? To practice that consciousness of Allah, that piety. And the reason is that we are in need of practicing that. وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not any benefit from our guidance or our misguidance, meaning whether we're doing something the right way or we are, you know, doing things the wrong way, it does not affect Allah whatsoever. In Surah Yunus, ayah 108, it is mentioned that قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ, that say, O mankind, there has certainly come to you the truth from your Lord. فَمَنِ اهْتَدَى, whoever obtains guidance, whoever follows the right guidance, فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي نَفْسِي, then indeed he only follows right guidance for his own benefit. Meaning if you do things the right way, if you follow the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, you're benefiting yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not benefit from that. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. And if a person goes astray, if a person chooses to ignore that guidance, then he is only going astray to his own detriment, meaning he's only going to end up harming himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not suffer from anything if a person chooses to disobey Allah. And likewise, you know, if we are grateful or we are ungrateful, it does not affect Allah at all. We learn in Surah Ibrahim, ayah 8, that إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ, that if all of you disbelieve, you and everyone that is on the earth, if every single creature was to disbelieve in Allah, deny Allah, still فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ, Allah is rich, He is worthy of praise. And He is perfect in Himself. So He does not benefit from our gratitude. He does not benefit from our iman. He does not benefit from our good deeds at all. In Surah Ibrahim, where Musa alayhi salam said that if all of you were to disbelieve, then فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still free of need. He does not depend on you to praise Him, to believe in Him, because He is Hamid at the same time. And Hamid is who? The one who is worthy of praise, whether or not someone is praising them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. He is absolute, free of need of the creation and whatever that they do, whether what they do is good or bad, it doesn't affect Allah whatsoever. We also learn in a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O my slaves, you all will never be able to harm me, meaning you will never be able to reach that level where you can cause me any harm. And you will never be able to reach that level where you can bring me any benefit. We cannot even come close to that level because we are the creation and He is the creator. And the fact is that He is Al-Wahid, Al-Qahhar, and He is perfect in Himself. He is Ghani. Likewise, in Surah Luqman, ayah number 12, we learn, وَمَنْ يَشْكُرْ فَإِنَّمَا يَشْكُرُ لِنَفْسِهِ, that whoever shows gratitude, then he shows gratitude for his own benefit. And whoever is ungrateful, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. The same thing is mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Likewise, if a person strives to do something good, whether it is to discipline themselves, or it is to control a desire, or it is that they strive really hard to, for example, go for Hajj, or seek religious knowledge, or help someone for the sake of Allah. If anyone strives really hard, even that does not benefit Allah. So it is said in Surah Al-Ankabut, ayah 6, وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ, that whoever strives, he strives for his own benefit. And indeed, the fact is that Allah is ghani from the worlds. Likewise, if we were to give something in the way of Allah, any sadaqah, right, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not become rich by that. Because He is the one who gave us that wealth in the first place. So if we are giving something, then even if we're giving it to his religion, right, we're giving it to Allah. He is not in need of that charity. He actually gives us the opportunity to give something for our benefit. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 263, it is said that قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌّ حَلِيمٌ. That to say a good word and to show pardon to people is better than giving them a charity followed by hurtful words. And the fact is that Allah is ghani, meaning He does not need you to give charity. So don't give charity and then hurt people. Allah is ghani and He is haleem. He is ever so tolerant. So when He is so forbearing and tolerant, then why don't you show pardon to people? And even if people are stingy, meaning people withhold and they don't give anything, then that does not make Allah poor, not at all, because He is still ghani. So in Surah Al-Hadid, Ayah 24, we learn about those people who are stingy. So it is said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّى, whoever turns away from giving, then فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Allah is ghani and He is hamid, He is praiseworthy. Basically what this means is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely self-sufficient, He has no need of us, then the fact is that we are in absolute need of Him. He is independent of us and we are fully, entirely dependent on Him. So in Surah Fatir, Ayah 15, it is said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that all people, all of you are in absolute need before Allah, meaning you are in need of Allah, you are poor, completely dependent on Allah, and Allah is ghani, وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ, He is not in need of you, He is the one who provides you, who sustains you, who fulfills your needs. He's the one without whom you cannot survive. You cannot do anything. So realize your position and realize the position of your Lord. He is Al-Ghani. Then thirdly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghani, it means that He is the source of sufficiency and richness. Meaning, if a person has any amount of wealth or any amount of, or any ability to do anything, then remember that they have it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to them. So remember that He is the giver of ghina, of richness, of abundance. So in Surah An-Najm, Ayah 48, we learn, وَأَنَّهُ هُوَ أَغْنَى وَأَقْنَى, that the fact is that it is Allah who aghna, who gives richness. So any kind of richness that people have, and remember that richness is not just with the abundance of wealth. Richness is also the richness of the heart, the contentment of the heart. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives that richness. And also, he is the one who enriches his slaves with his favors. In Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah 28, it is mentioned, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ عَيْلَةً فَسَوْفَ يُغْنِيكُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrich you from His favors. Meaning He has so much that He is able to fulfill all of your needs. And He is able to give you self-sufficiency and abundance. And then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially gives contentment and richness to the slave who devotes himself to the worship of Allah. Meaning richness is in turning to Allah, not in turning away from Allah. So in a hadith we learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, O son of Adam, تَفَرَّغْ لِعِبَادَتِي, become free for my worship, meaning devote yourself to my worship, and I will fill your heart with richness, and I will also fill your hands with sustenance. And then it is said that, O son of Adam, do not become distant from me, لَا تُبَعِدْ مِنِّي, because then I will fill your heart with poverty. If you distance yourself from me, then I will fill your heart with poverty and I will fill your hands with occupation. So you will be busy, busy, busy. Your work will be never ending. You will have so many concerns and your heart will always be greedy, always feeling that sense of dissatisfaction. So remember that that sense of satisfaction, that sense of contentment, it comes by turning to Allah. It doesn't come by filling our hands with things, because we can own a lot of things, but owning a lot of things does not necessarily bring satisfaction. A person can have a lot, but they could be empty inside. They could be desperate inside. And a person could have very little in their hands, but in their heart, they can be completely satisfied. So that inner satisfaction comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He is the source of sufficiency and richness. We also learned in a hadith that the person who is affected by some kind of poverty, man asabatu faqatun, that a person is suffering from some kind of poverty, and then they go to people in order to ask them, that please give me this, please give me that. Then what will happen? لَمْ تُسَدَّ فَاقَتُهُ. Then his poverty will not be taken away. Meaning that person will remain in need. As long as they ask people, as long as they depend on people, as long as they seek wealth and abundance from people, then what will happen? They will remain in poverty. But the person who presents their poverty before Allah, then what will happen? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them abundance, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of their needs. And it doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden a person will become rich. No, it means that by turning to Allah constantly, what will happen is that you will first gain the richness of the heart. Once you have the richness of the heart, only then are you able to see and appreciate the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, and only then are you able to use them. So this is the benefit of turning to Allah al-Ghani, who is the source of richness and abundance. We also learn in the hadith that whoever's concern is the hereafter, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place richness, contentment in their heart, right? And a person whose focus is the dunya, whose goal is worldly gain, worldly benefit, then what will happen? Poverty will always be in front of their eyes, meaning they will always think that they are poor. And what are they going to get of this world? They're only going to get of the world what is written for them, meaning nothing more than that. So this shows us that we shouldn't make dunya our ultimate goal. Our goal should be akhirah. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani, He is richer than the richest person on earth, right? Why? Because if any person has anything, they have it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gave it to them. So if people can own so much, then what do you think about the Lord of these people? Right? The one who gave them abundance. So go straight to the source. Don't look at people that what can they give me? What can I get from them? How can I ask them? And any kind of need that we have, whether it is worldly or spiritual, something tangible or intangible, first and foremost, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And place your trust in Him and expect from Him and seek from Him and look at, admire the treasures that He has. Don't keep looking at, the amount of money that people have, right? Because they can only give when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the ability to give, right? The tawfiq to give. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of sufficiency. He is the source of richness. Now we see that this name of Allah al-Ghani, it is mentioned in the Quran with the name al-Hamid, and it is also mentioned with the name Halim. It is mentioned with the name Hamid. Hamid means one who is praiseworthy, meaning the one who deserves praise because of who he is. And we see that, among the creation, for example, there are those who are wealthy, but they're not praiseworthy at the same time, right? Unfortunately, the more wealth, the more resources people have, the more destructive they become, the more abusive they become, the more greedy and selfish they become. And the more, stingy they become. Yani, subhanAllah, they may have a whole lot of money, but they refuse to pay even a fraction of their taxes, right? SubhanAllah, they will hire people, to do something, but they will never pay them. Yani, this is the small-heartedness of people, that the more we have, the uglier we become, the more pathetic we become. This is the reality of the creation. Illa masha'Allah, except for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has exempted from this state of wretchedness. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-Ghani and He is al-Hamid, right? He is the one who is rich, the one who has all of these resources at His disposal. He owns everything. And look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, right? When people own a lot, they become destructive to the earth also, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is al-Ghani and He is al-Hamid. His actions are perfect, right? He is so generous. He is the giver of life. He is the sustainer of life, right? وَهُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. The more you realize and appreciate the richness of Allah, the more you glorify and praise Him, because your heart is filled with awe and appreciation for His generosity, for His perfection. So He is Al-Ghani and He is Al-Hamid. And we see that the name of Allah Ghani is also mentioned with Halim. Halim is the one who is forbearing, who is tolerant. You see, sometimes what happens with us is that if we have, some money and, we're dealing with people, the moment they disappoint us, right, the moment they say something hurtful or they disobey us, immediately we decide, you know what, I'm not going to give them anything. Forget about other people. We treat our own children this way, right? That we instantly withhold. We instantly give consequences. We do that by depriving people, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani. He owns everything, and yet He is Halim, He is forbearing, He is tolerant. Day in and day out, we disobey Allah, we commit sin, we show ingratitude. We think that if we are doing something good, we're doing Allah a favor, right? Astaghfirullah. Any our actions are so so deplorable at times, so pathetic at times. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Halim. He is tolerant. So with His generosity, He keeps giving, He keeps giving. He doesn't withhold oxygen from us. He doesn't withhold rain from us. He doesn't withhold sunlight from us. He doesn't withhold the necessities of life from us. In fact, He gives us even more. This is al-Ghani, right? Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Ghani, what is it that we should do? How is it that we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this name? First of all, when we believe that Allah is the one who is rich, the one who is self-sufficient, the one who gives richness, that means that firstly, we should ask Allah. We should present our needs before Allah. In Surah An-Nisa, ayah 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Ask Allah of His favors. Meaning, instead of comparing yourself to other people, that, oh, they have been given this, Allah gave them this, Allah gave them that, Allah gave men this, Allah gave women that. Instead of always comparing yourself to different people, if you feel that you have a certain need, ask Allah. He is the one who gave to others what they have. So if you have a need, instead of getting upset and jealous and angry, turn to Allah. Ask Allah. وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِ. And remember, it is not difficult for Allah to give. Secondly, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Ghani, this means that we should refrain from begging people. Refrain from from asking people. Now, this doesn't mean that we can't ask people that, you know, can you pass me my book or can you bring me a glass of water? It doesn't mean that, we cannot ask people for anything at all. What is meant is that do not depend on people for the fulfillment of your needs. Don't wait for that Prince Charming to come and rescue you, right? Don't wait for that, for that person who will come in your life and who will save you from all your troubles. You know, even when you go to, for example, a counselor or a therapist or a doctor, don't think that that healing is in their hand, right? That they are the ones who are going to fix you. They're the ones who are going to take your troubles away. They're the ones who are going to solve your problems for you. No, depend on people. Rather, depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Ask people for what they're able to give. And remember that people are only able to give as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables them. So refrain from asking people, refrain from begging people. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those people who don't go on, begging. So in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 273, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that charity should be given to lil-fuqara, to those who are poor. Specifically, الَّذِينَ أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, those who have been constrained in the way of Allah, لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ ضَرْبًا فِي الْأَرْضِ يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ, that some people think that these individuals are rich. Why are they rich? Because they don't ask. They don't beg. So they don't ask, they don't beg, even though they are in need. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises such people. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in this ayah to find such people who are in need. تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ, you would recognize them from their expressions. Specifically the fact that لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافًا, they do not ask people, they do not beg people importunately, meaning insisting, nagging, they don't do that. So no matter what need we have, let us not nag people. And you know, sometimes it's within the household, right? Where we, for example, remind a person, to take the garbage out, for example, 10 times, right? You ask your husband, can you please take the garbage out? 5 minutes later, can you take the garbage out? 2 minutes later, can you take the garbage out? 3 minutes again. Can he give the fellow a break, right? He knows he needs to. And maybe he forgot, or maybe there's something else that he's doing that is more urgent. Don't nag. Don't insist. And you know what? If you feel that you're not being heard, that your spouse, for example, is not listening, that they don't care about these things, make dua to Allah. You know that frustration in your heart, that anger in your heart? Make dua to Allah. Ya Allah, please give them the ability to do this. Give them that realization that the garbage needs to be taken away. Right, it needs to be thrown. And this could be even with your children, right? That sometimes you ask your children to do something, but they don't get it, they don't listen. So yes, you remind them, but giving a reminder doesn't mean nagging people, because people do not like to be nagged. Right? People don't like it when you ask them again and again and again, when you tell them again and again and again. It's extremely annoying, extremely upsetting. So refrain from such behavior. And if you want, if you feel that people are not listening, they're not doing what is in their interest, right? Then again, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, guide their heart. Allahumma hdi qalbahu, right? That, oh Allah, guide his heart, right? You can make this dua for your own children. You can make this dua for your own spouse, right? But do not, beg and insist. Likewise, part of this is that do not always be asking, for example, your parents, can I have money? I want to go shopping. I want the new phone now. Please, 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 please. May I please go here? May I have the car? May I have this? May I have that? I want this. I want that. And you don't ask constantly from your parents or from your spouse or from your children. You have a need, whether it is of a jacket or it is of shoes or it is of, you know, money for school or is it money for food, anything. Present your need before Allah. Ask Allah. Right? Don't go on begging people. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, you are constantly suffering from deprivation. You have needs that are unfulfilled and, you know, you don't ask people. You should communicate, right? You should communicate that, for example, you know, winter is coming. I think I'm going to need new shoes, you know, right? Or you feel that there is something that you deserve. It is your right and you are not being provided that by your spouse. For instance, right, communicate that need, but don't go on insisting from them, get me this and get me that, and I want this and I want that. No, your wish list should always go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you must ask Allah, cry before Allah, right, beg Him. And you will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change the hearts of people. Because you know what happens when we ask people over and over again, they block us out completely. They don't want to listen to us, right? They will block us on their phone. They will not read our messages. They will ignore our requests because they're fed up. They're tired, right? They don't want to be told. So communicate your needs, but don't nag and insist. What we should do is make dua with determination, right? This is the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when we're making dua, we should make dua with determination. That why? Because there is nothing that is too hard for Allah to give. So refrain from begging people, and if you must communicate your needs, then do so without nagging them. Part of this is that we should feel that independence of people in our hearts. In a hadith, we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if one of you were to go out, meaning into the wilderness, with a rope, right? That meaning that's all he can find, that's all he has. But he goes out with that rope and he finds some wood, right? And he collects that wood and he ties it up and he carries it on his back and then he sells it as firewood. And by that, he makes a little bit of money. And by that, he is able to not beg, right? Then that is better for him. That is better for him than to go and beg people. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that the upper hand is better than the lower hand. Meaning don't go on, spreading your hand out before people, asking them, begging them. And subhanAllah, these days, there was a time and there are places in the world till today where people will literally go and spread, you know, their hand before others, please give me charity. And subhanAllah, now people will do that even online, that I want to go travel. I want to go, I want to buy this, right? Support me in fulfilling my wishes, etc. If it's a cause that helps people, or if it's a greater cause, that's understandable. You're raising funds for that, but for personal gain, right? I mean, that's very very strange, because we should not be begging people, putting our hand out in front of them, asking them for charitable gifts, etc. And remember that real dignity is in refraining from asking people. In a hadith, we learn that sharaful mu'mini salatuhu bil-layl, that the honor of a believer is praying in the night, where izzuhu istighna'uhu amma fi aydinas, and his dignity is in being free of need of what is in the hands of people. This is what brings us dignity. And remember that whoever seeks independence, whoever wants that, you know what, I don't want to beg people, I don't want to depend on them, I don't want to ask them. And then a person tries to figure out ways of being independent of people, then you know what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give that person independence. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that وَمَن يَسْتَعْفِفْ يُعِفَّهُ اللَّهُ, that whoever seeks to be, to observe afaf, meaning restraint from asking people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yastarfif is whoever seeks chastity, right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him chastity. وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْنِي يُغْنِهِ اللَّهِ. And whoever seeks independence from people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him that independence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrich him. So when you want to be, you know, free of need of people, you don't want to be begging people. You don't want to be in that state where you are constantly asking them. And you try to do what is within your ability, and you present your needs before Allah, then you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you free of need of people. And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who are content. In a hadith, we learned this, a hadith in Sahih Muslim, that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْعَبْدَ التَّقِيَّ الْغَنِيَّ الْخَفِيِّ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the slave who is, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned certain characteristics, and one of them is ghani. The one who is ghani, meaning the one who is free of need of people, in the sense that they're not greedy for what people have, that people should pay attention to me, that people should like me, that people should give me gifts, and people should give me money, and people should give me help, and they should give me that, etc. Any a person who is ghani, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that believer. We also learn, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani, this means that we should seek the richness of the heart from Allah, meaning we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enrich our hearts. And this is something that we should actively strive towards, meaning really make dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, fill my heart with contentment, right? Fill my heart with richness. Give me the ability to feel your blessings. And in a hadith we learned that لَيْسَ الْغِنَى عَنْ كَثْرَةِ الْعَرَضِ, that richness is not by the abundance of things, of property. وَلَكِنَّ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ, the real richness is that of the nafs, right? We learn about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? In Surah Al-Duha, that وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he mentions his favors on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he found you poor, right? He found you in need, and أَغْنَى, he gave you contentment. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not have the abundance of wealth, right? The richness that we imagine, right? What is richness in our minds is what? That you have a huge house, you have a lot of money at your disposal, you are, you know, you have many servants and, you know, many people to serve you, and you don't have to do the basic things in life, or, you know, chores, etc. No, you know, you have people to do that for you. And so all of your needs are fulfilled. And in fact, there is a lot of, comfort and luxury that you enjoy in your life. This is what we think richness is, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, he found you poor and he gave you ghina. Was that ghina the ghina of wealth, that he gave you a lot of wealth? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually had that option, right? But he didn't choose that. What is it that he was given then? What kind of ghina is this? It's the ghina of the heart. It's the richness of the heart, because of which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was content, right? So even though many times all they had to eat was just water and dates, and for days the oven was not turned on, any fire was not lit to cook any food, to prepare any food, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still fine. In fact, he was still generous. In fact, he was still obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he strove in worshipping Allah. We know about the events from the seerah where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was visibly hungry, right? So much so that he had tied a rock, around his, on his stomach, because of extreme hunger. So remember that real richness is not with things, It is not with money. It is not with a big house, with a fancy car. Real richness is that of the heart, that a person feels so content inside that they're not desperate and greedy for the things, for the petty things of the world, that they're able to still do so much with what they have. They're able to offer a helping hand, right? And words of gratitude come out of their mouth. So this is the kind of richness that we should be seeking. Now, this doesn't mean that we hate wealth or that we think that being rich is wrong. No, what this means is that whatever state Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us in, whatever condition He has kept us in, whatever means that He has given us, we are grateful for them. And we should seek paradise through the richness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Meaning the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, we should use that in the right way. Which means that we should spend it in the cause of Allah. We should increase in giving sadaqah, right? And remember that even when you spend on your family, on your dependents, in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is reward for that. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani, this means that we should use the means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to obey Him, right? Because remember that He has no need of us. If He wants, He can completely replace us. He can completely get rid of us, right? He does not benefit from our worship and our sacrifice and our striving and our charity, etc. Whether we do it or we don't, it doesn't make a difference to Him. However, when we do something good, it does make a difference to us, right? It is of benefit to us. So realize this gift. And therefore, use what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you for obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for seeking His approval, right? So for example, the money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, yes, we use it to buy things that we need, sometimes buy things that we like, okay, fine. But we should also see that how much of my money is going in things that are pleasing to Allah, in causes that are pleasing to Allah. In Surah Al-An'am, ayah 133, it is said, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ Your Lord is ever rich, He is merciful. إِن يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ If He wants, He can completely get rid of you. وَيَسْتَخْلِفْ مِنْ بَعْدِكُمْ مَا يَشَاءُ And He can bring someone else after you. He can produce another creation after you. And he can completely do away with you. In Surah Muhammad, ayah 38, it is mentioned, هَا أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تُدْعَوْنَ لِتُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ You all are people who are being invited to spend in the way of Allah. Meaning, this is an invitation. This is a privilege for you, a great opportunity for you, that spend out of what you have in the way of Allah. However, people react differently. فَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يَبْخَلْ Among you is the person who is stingy, right? Who doesn't want to give in the way of Allah. So it is clarified that وَمَنْ يَبْخَلْ فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَنْ نَفْسِي Whoever is stingy, then he is only stingy with himself. He's only depriving himself. So for example, if we don't pray, if we don't give sadaqah, when we don't make dhikr, when we don't recite Quran, who's losing out here? Who's missing out here? Who is being deprived over here? It is we, right? It is us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not losing anything, right? And likewise, it's not the people, right, who are in need of us to take care of them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their raziq too. We were just a means. So if we fail to do our part, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide His slaves through someone else or directly. And He doesn't need us, right? So وَمَنْ يَبْخَلْ فَإِنَّمَا يَبْخَلُ عَنْ نَفْسِي وَاللَّهُ الْغَنِيُّ وَأَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ Allah is ghani and you all are poor. You all need to do good for your own selves. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ And if you turn away, then Allah will replace you with another people and they will not be like you at all. They will be very different from you. They will not be selfish and stingy like you are. They will be different. So we need to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has angels that are constantly glorifying Him, constantly praising Him. There are many creatures within the depths of the ocean and all over the earth and in the sky that are praising and glorifying Allah, right? Allah doesn't need us. So if we have been given an opportunity to do something good, this is for our benefit. So let us benefit ourselves and not deprive ourselves of what we are in need of. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghani, that we call upon Him by this name, there are many beautiful du'as in which we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for ghina, the real richness, and that can be the richness of the heart, as well as the richness in the sense of wealth and abundance. So the first du'a is where we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-t-tuqa wa-afafa wa-ghina. This is reported in Sahih Muslim, that, O Allah, I ask you for guidance, I ask you for piety, I ask you for chastity, and I ask you for ghina. Ghina, meaning I ask you for freedom from want, I ask you for richness, I ask you for contentment. All of those meanings are included in ghina. And this is a dua that we should be making on a regular basis because it's such a comprehensive, such a beautiful dua. And then we have another dua which a lot of people are unfamiliar with. And this is a dua that the Prophet ﷺ would make frequently while seeking refuge with Allah. And this dua is, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatin nar wa min adhabin nar. That, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the torture of the fire and from the punishment of the fire. And this means two things, that protect me from getting burnt, right? And protect me from being punished through fire, meaning in the hereafter. So protect me from getting burnt in the world and protect me from the punishment of the fire in the hereafter. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْقَبْرِ. And I seek refuge with you from the torture of the grave. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ. And I ask you to protect me from the punishment of the grave, because the grave is not an easy place. It is a very, very dark and frightening place. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْغِنَى. And I ask you to protect me. I seek refuge with you from the fitna, from the tribulation of richness. Protect me from the fitna of being rich. Now, this doesn't mean that we're asking Allah to not let us be rich. What we're asking Allah here is that, Ya Allah, save me from the fitna of richness. What is the fitna of richness? The fitna of richness is that a person becomes arrogant because of what they have. That a person gets so immersed and lost in the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them that they forget about Allah. They forget about what is more important, right? There are those who, as soon as they become rich, they stop praying. They stop caring about what is halal, what is haram, right? There are those who become very negligent as soon as they become rich. So the more money they have, the more they neglect their family. SubhanAllah. They have the money now, so they can travel, they can have fun, they can hang out with their friends. Now they can buy this and buy that. And what's happening with the family? Those who are dependent, they barely have enough to look after themselves with. Right. So this is a fitna of richness, that a person becomes arrogant, a person becomes negligent, that a person becomes wasteful also, that a person becomes heedless. And then وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْفَقْرِ. I seek refuge with you from the fitna of poverty. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. So poverty is also a huge trial, right? How is poverty a trial? Because a person feels very weak. And it can also become, dangerous to a person's iman. There are people whose faith is shaken because of poverty. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all of these trials. And then another dua that we can make is Allahumma inni. If you can change the slide, please. The next dua is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil. Sorry, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatin nar wa 'adhabin nar wa min sharri al-ghina wal-faqr. This is a dua that is reported in Sunan Abi Dawud, that Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatin nar. That, oh Allah, protect me from the trial of the fire, from the punishment of the fire, and from the evil of richness and poverty. So remember that richness is a trial and poverty is also a trial. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from either of these things becoming a trial for us. Another is a long dua in which we praise and glorify Allah. And this is reported in Sunan Abi Dawud. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm al-Din, La ilaha illallah, yaf'alu ma yurid, Allahumma anta Allah, La ilaha illa anta al-Ghani. That, O Allah, there is no God worthy of worship but you, anta al-Ghani wa nahnu al-Fuqara. You are rich and we are poor. Anzil alayna al-Ghayth. Send down rain upon us. So this is especially in the time of famine or in the time of drought, in the time of extreme need, that we praise Allah, that Ya Allah, you are ghani and we are poor. There's another dua which is not mentioned on the slides, but it is Allahumma kfini bi halalika an haramik wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak. That, oh Allah, suffice me with your lawful against that which is unlawful. Meaning, make what is lawful enough for me so that I don't seek that which is unlawful. I don't resort to unlawful means, or I don't desire or indulge in what you have made unlawful for me. وَأَغْنِنِي بِفَضْلِكَ عَمَّنْ سِوَاكَ. And O Allah, enrich me with your favor from all those who are besides you. Meaning, make me free of want of everyone besides you. Make me such that I don't need to depend on anyone besides you. So these are some du'as that we can make. There's another du'a also which we learn, that we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from وَمِن مَالٍ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ عَذَابًا. That save me from such wealth that becomes a source of punishment for me. In the world, it becomes a source of constant trouble for me. And in the hereafter, it becomes a source of punishment for me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghani, the one who is rich, the giver of richness, the giver of contentment. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for contentment. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the tribulation of richness and of poverty. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to use the means that He has given us in ways that are pleasing to Him. Ameen. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.